Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Weiner, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Are you underthinking this Thanksgiving? In today's Thanksgiving podcast and post, we take a deeper look at gratitude and follow its stream back toward the headwaters. While it's good to be thankful for circumstances, possessions, and people in our lives, the way in which we are thankful is far more vital than those things for which we are thankful. Join me now as we see beyond the golden rule and gain a glimpse of what it means to graduate beyond subject-object Thanksgiving. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. Once again, I am your host. My name's Kevin Weiner, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do. And I want to welcome you to the program. This is a special Thanksgiving podcast and post. You're getting it a few days early. Why not get it on Thursday instead of Sunday morning? Well, this week you are. And I hope that you'll have some time off this week, that you can give yourself some time to listen to this, to consider it, to kind of explore it if it prompts you in one direction or the other. You may want to go to my website, which is kevinweiner.com. Sorry about that. Remember, I spell my name like the number 7, K-E-V-E-N, kevinweiner.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can check out the podcast. You can peruse all the previous posts. There's a bunch of other content on there if you haven't checked it out lately. There's series on educating and training and just a whole bunch of stuff. I invite you to go check it out, kevinweiner.com, and please get in contact with me. I'd love to have you write me a note, a letter, an email. We could begin a dialogue, answer the next pressing question, whatever it is you want to do. I love connecting with this audience. And so, folks, today we come to Thanksgiving. And, man, I'll tell you, if you're like me, you probably are a little weary. You may not even be wanting to tune into this that much. I mean, what's he going to say, right? Oh, my gosh, we got to thank our families. We got to, you know. It's hard to come up with something new, right? We get into Thanksgiving and we get into ideas about gratitude and what it means to be truly thankful. And man, there's a lot out there and it's all good. It's all helpful. It all prompts us. It moves us in one direction or the other. And I guess the way I'm looking at it today is I really wanted to try and invite everybody into the biggest, largest, most inclusive aspect of human history. I wanted to create a thread on Thanksgiving whereby all people, all comers, all faiths, all traditions, all religions, all histories, all countries, all everything, all people of all time could come together. Yeah, we have to do this virtually, right? I mean, we're not supposed to be traveling. We're not supposed to be in big groups. We've got the COVID threat. Everything's different this year. Everything's virtual. And guess what? When you're in the virtual space, we get to hear from the minds and the thinking of people who are no longer in our time frame. Hundreds, thousands of years could have gone by, but if they say something profound, their mind is joining our mind in this virtual environment. I wanted to kind of access that. So let's begin talking about Thanksgiving as I have titled it. This is podcast number 267. I call it Subject Object Thanksgiving. So I'm going to make a statement here to just kind of get us started. It may seem like it's already going off the rails, but I'm going to start here so that hopefully you can gain a perspective of what I'm trying to get you to. And that is that the way in which we think, you know, is probably more important than what we actually think. And man, I'll tell you, when as somebody who's focused and given their life to studying world religions, I can tell you that most every argument, every war is always arguing about what we think, because we're in our minds, we think that's the big deal. But the way we think is called something else. If you want to change somebody's mind, stop focusing on what they think and start looking at the way they think. The way a person thinks is called an epistemology. It's a theory of knowledge. It's the way you know things. So it's the way you think. And epistemology is what gives way to the what you think. The thing behind what you think is the way you think, okay? So you can change the way you think without changing the what you think, and everything changes. And this is the thrust of my ministry here. This is why I teach the way I do. This is why some folks get confused and can't follow along. It's because they're looking at the what I said, not the way I said it. And it's very important that you kind of learn that. It's going to be vital for today's understanding. So our culture comes to Thanksgiving, and they look at the holiday, and immediately there's this bunch of competing streams of thought. You're going to see this in all your feeds, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. You're going to see it on the news. You're going to see it in the commercial advertising, these competing streams of thoughts, these sets of assumptions, preferences, opinions. And for example, one stream of thought that's really common is the non-religious, family-centered, commercial Thanksgiving. Right? And in a non-COVID world, people would travel to be together. They'd sit around a big feast. They'd watch football, enjoy reconnecting, reflecting over the years, whatever it is, eating pie, drinking beer. It may or may not have much to do with any specific gratitude in one's way of thinking. But if it does, that thankfulness that usually accompanies this family-centered commercial Thanksgiving, that thankfulness is usually toward an object. It's toward your job, your country, your health, some possession, or a person whom has been objectified. Like you're thankful for your friends, your parents, your siblings, your family, your spouse, your kids. There's an objectification. I call that subject-object Thanksgiving. Now, the other competing stream of thought is the kind of religious one where drawing from traditional, both cultural and religious tradition. The season is kind of wrought with attending religious services. There's special times of prayer and reflection where the thankful person direct their true gratitude for another set of objects. But these are slightly less tangible objects, namely God, salvation, faith, religion, things like that. Okay? Now, to be fair to all comers, Thanksgiving is really non-existent within an or without an object for which one is thankful. So there needs to be subject-object Thanksgiving. That's where we begin. If you don't get to an object for which you are thankful, it does us no good to go around saying we are a grateful person. There's nothing for which we could possibly be grateful. Gratitude in and of itself does not exist. It's not like you can live in gratitude without an object for which we are thankful. So subject-object Thanksgiving is actually the bar, the minimum ante for thankfulness, for gratitude. And so you could be walking on a hike and a tree branch is right at the height of your eye, and at the last second you saw it and you ducked and it didn't scratch your eye out, and you're like, wow, I'm so thankful I caught that and didn't scratch my eye out. There's an object there. I'm thankful to myself. I'm thankful that I avoided tragedy. I'm thankful for something, right? So if we can't rise to even subject-object Thanksgiving, then we probably need some kind of professional help, because our apathy, it needs to be looked at. We need to examine why our life is so disintegrated. If you can find nothing for which to be thankful, nothing at all, then you are living in a disintegrated life, meaning everything is in silos, and you might be a little histrionic. You might be, you know, a total narcissist. I don't know. I want to go find that out. Today, though, I hope we can see beyond this. I'd like us to get beyond subject-object Thanksgiving. I mean, we can do much better. But we can't get there in a low-consciousness state of existence. That's why I'm asking you to get help if you have no object for your Thanksgiving. See, the path to follow is to begin with the object for which we are most sincerely grateful. And whatever that object is, I would like to invite you to follow it deeper until we meet the subject beyond the object. And this is to graduate from being thankful for unto being thankful to. Okay? We switch prepositions, which means we change the way we think. And for example, I'm thankful for my job, which I truly am. I'm glad that I don't have to depend on you listeners for my support. I'm glad I don't have to ask you for money. I don't have to tell you, buy this. I invite you to buy my book if you want to. I invite you to take advantage of coaching or whatever services I might have. Most of everything I offer is completely free. Therefore, I would never charge you for that. I love that. The way that I'm able to do that is because I'm just like you. I go out and I have a job and I work throughout the week. And that allows me to give everything away. I mean, I would never trust spiritual teaching from someone who has a website that says, sign up and buy my stuff. Support this. Give me money. That, to me, calls into question whether you or not you actually understood the teaching and the spiritual realities for which you're offering. It's not a business. Turning it into a business is the problem. Okay, I'm not going there now. Okay, sorry. I think we need to get beyond this, right? So following the object past into the subject is vital. Like I said, I started with, I'm thankful for my job. But if you really pull back, if you give it deeper consideration, I have to look at the details and I go a bit slower. It's really easy for me to see that I wouldn't have my job if it weren't for my friends who invited me to interview. If it weren't for the people and relationships that I had that said, yes, I want you on the team. I wouldn't have my job if certain people weren't giving me grace to continue in the light of a very difficult year where my performance has not been great. Right? All of these things come about. And so while I'm thankful for the object of my job, I'm looking through it to see the subjects, the people behind which makes my object so good. And if this seems strange, just practically follow the cause and effect flow of how you came to be thankful right now for that object. You're thankful for your snowboard? Okay, let's start there. But behind that snowboard, somebody had a design. They invested money. They built a company. They ordered a machine that would, you know, shape the wood, that would emboss the resins, that would put the graphic on there, that would create the, some designer came up with that shape of that cutting edge on your snowboard. All of this life, energy, and focus, and emphasis, and production, and energy, and excellence went into all of this. These are people who showed up and worked and labored and sweated and worked towards this product. So yes, there are people behind your snowboard. You can thank them for this great thing you're enjoying, right? See, you can get there. Now, as we do this, we'll notice that people start to emerge, and without whom our today for which we're thankful couldn't even exist. So at our Thanksgiving table, you're probably sitting around those who have provided you the means for the gratitude you're enjoying. We need to recognize that. And sure, we did our part. You know, we show up to work, we work hard, but none of us accomplish anything in a vacuum. See, now we've moved from gratitude from the object, the job or the family, to the subject. I'm thankful to Mitchell. I'm thankful to my mother. I'm thankful to my friends, right? This is the beginning point of subject to subject Thanksgiving. So you've moved from subject-object into a deeper appreciation. This is true gratitude when you move from subject to subject Thanksgiving. But let's, you know me, I never stop there, do I? Let's go deeper. What makes any of these people along the way want to help you? What made them want to buy from you? What made them want to give you the chance to trust you? Now, resist the gravitational pull to pat yourself on the back here and to give ourselves more credit than we deserve. Sure, you might have had a nice resume. You might have been a great worker. But what made them want you look closer at the motivation of the subject, to whom you are thankful. Where were they acting in good faith for you? Were they trying to be nice? Were they trying to be compassionate? Were they trying to be helpful? Did they go out of their way to help you, to bring you on the team, to give you something? Did they sacrifice something? See, if the motivation on the heart of the other opens up this other plane of consciousness, so what or who is behind that is the question. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if you get behind the motivation of the person that's behind the object, now we're kind of peeling back the onion to say, what's behind that? And for those of you who subscribe to a belief in God, or that at least that there's something more, it's not going to take much to convince you that the goodness and mercy of God works through other people, by how God works upon the hearts of men and women. That's not news to you, right? That God dwells in the hearts of all of us, and then as she moves on the heart of humanity, we have this motivation to be good, to go further. We start to see others as ourselves, right? So we have to gain awareness that the person in need of our help or support are somehow not unlike ourselves. And so when you say, hey, I'm not you and you're not me, but I'm not other than you either, something changes. That is the impulse that causes you to pull the $5 bill out of your hand and give it to the homeless person at the traffic light. You realize that you could be that homeless person pushing the shopping cart if certain things in your life didn't work out the way they did. See, that awareness is the motivation on the heart of person. So where does that come from? So I think nearly every act of kindness is a manifestation of what we call the golden rule. It's this law of human reciprocity. When you see that other person as yourself, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7:12. He said, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. Now, I'm going to come back to that second part of that. But maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you don't subscribe to that. Maybe you're Buddhist. So in the Buddhist teaching, in the Uddanavarga 5:18, it says, hurt not others what pains yourself. If maybe you're a Hindu, you know, in Sanskrit texts, it says one should never do something to others that one would regard as an injury to one's own self. In brief, this is dharma, the law, the teaching, right? Anything else is succumbing to desire. What if you are, you know, you come from ancient Greece? What if your belief system is Greek mythology? Okay, Thales said, avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. You know, if you're a Jewish person, the Hebrew text of Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against your kinsfolk. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Right? If maybe you're from, you know, the Islamic tradition. Well, in the Hadith, the prophet said, as you would have people do to you, do to them. And what you dislike to be done to you, don't do to them. Okay, so now we've really opened this up, folks. When we're talking about the motivation of the heart, we're talking about seeing other people as ourself. We're talking about this law, this rule of human reciprocity. This global rule of reciprocity is amazing, and I only gave you a handful of the examples of this that are relevant to all of human history. Every nook and cranny, every tradition, every tribe, every belief system has some version of this. Now, in Jeremiah 33:31 or something like that, it says, the promise of God is that I will write my law on the very heart of all humankind. So nobody can be without it. Now, this existence of this rule of reciprocity within all human history, It is a recognition of our fellow man or woman, that when we see them not as other than ourselves, this is an amazing thing. And when Jesus says this sums up the law and the prophets, what he's saying is in every world religion, we can't do better than this. This is the pinnacle of humankind. If we get this one thing, we get the whole of every religion. If we miss this, we miss them all. This is an ethos, then, which is universally shared among all people of all times, of all faiths, of all traditions. It's the moral law, which is written upon the hearts of all humanity. It is the inscription in others, which allows any of us to prosper in our lives. That's where I want you to take your Thanksgiving this year. Reverse engineer it until you can see the law of reciprocity, the golden rule, which is causing the motivation on the heart of any person to be compassionate toward you. This is God acting through people on your behalf. That is the subject behind all things for which we are thankful. The existence of this inscription into the hardwiring of all humanity is a profound proof of how we are differentiated from our animal kingdom. And I know that the materialist, the scientific, the evolutionary-minded person wants to think of ourselves as just an evolution of an animal or a beast. But we think very different than an animal. And this is why. It's an ethos which comes not from social or societal training. I'm not going to deny that that exists. There is a societal benefit to this, but it's there before the society trains it. In fact, you could argue that our society tries to train it out of you, but somehow it's still there, isn't it? Because it's from our Maker. See, this is the end of the line for Thanksgiving. There is no more reverse engineering beyond this. This sums up the law and the prophets. This sums up the highest ethos that we can get in all of humanity in the history of the world. This is the subject to which we owe all of our gratitude. May our gratitude find its way back to its original source, and may we return it to where it came. You see what's happening? Now we're giving our thanksgiving back to the one who gave it to us. See, by completing this circle, we join in this flow, this dynamism of God, this energy of the world, this rhythm, and it's in all of life. We begin an integral part of the dynamism in the work of God in the world. That's what's happening. That's all around us. And if you use Thanksgiving as a pry bar, you can peel back the layers and you can see it. It's so much more than turkey. It's so much more than the pilgrims. It's so much more than just turning it into this religious jaw or an appeal to join a religion. This is the inscription of the law of God upon the heart of all humanity. It finds its way into all traditions, and it's the thing that allows you to have anything at all for which to be thankful. Subject to subject gratitude is our conscious and active participation in the love of God in the world. May we not lose sight of this amazing process this Thanksgiving. God bless you all.